Hey gang, and welcome to this episode of Under the Log, the podcast where we interview men and women who recently completed a GORUCK event. In this episode, we talk to Kyle Crutcher about the GORUCK Bragg Double Heavy, an event so wet and so cold that Kyle's feet are still numb. Like, for real. Before we get into our interview with Kyle, I wanted to let you know that Under the Log podcast is part of a collection of websites called the Rucking Collective. If you want to show your support for this podcast, you can do so by visiting our sister website, ruckingchallenges.com. We've got a really great challenge this month, and you can earn a sweet patch, so show us some love. Head over to ruckingchallenges.com today and sign up, maybe even get one of them fancy subscriptions. But with that, here's our interview with Kyle. All right, Kyle, man, thanks a ton for coming on the podcast to talk about the GORUCK Bragg Double Heavy. I've seen some pictures, I caught some of the videos, and I can't wait to actually hear from someone who endured both of these events. Before we get to that, though, can you just take a minute and introduce yourself, kind of let us know a little bit about you outside of GORUCK?
Sure. I live in the Salt Lake City, Utah area. I currently work as a pharmacist. I've got two young kids, one five-year-old son, an eight-year-old daughter. We're all active. We like to go hiking and snowboarding and skiing and my kids are getting involved in all sorts of kind of sports now, and it's starting to get real fun. Nice. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. The like 5, 9, 8 age, like that's a fun age. That's when my kids started really getting involved in like sports and stuff. And like my boys played soccer and, you know, that's something I grew up doing. So being able to like get out there and share those activities with them is pretty fun. So are the kids, like you said, snowboarding, are the kids out on the slopes?
Yeah. Well, I just, it was funny, like a week right after the Bragg event, I came home and I had, some extra time off from work that I had to burn some PTO. So I actually took them up there, and that was their first time, you know, went like four days in a row. And, you know, young kids, they catch on quick. They were zooming down the hill before you knew it.
Dude, that's so awesome, man. That sounds like a ton of fun. Yeah. It just takes me back to like memories of when I was growing up. My dad took us skiing like once a year, and that was a lot of fun. But hey, we are here to talk about GORUCK and the GORUCK Bragg Double Heavy. I'm just going to assume that you doing the Bragg Double Heavy, that this was not your first GORUCK event.
No, it was not.
So tell us a little bit, like, how'd you get into GORUCK, and like, what are some of the events that you've done kind of leading up to this point?
Sure. Long story short, I played college ball. I've always been active, my college football, that is, been active my whole life. But when I got into graduate school, I obviously, you know, lost, you know, didn't work out as much, got kind of thick, got up to like 240 pounds. And then I finally got serious, lost a ton of weight, lost about 50 to 60 pounds, got into Spartan races.
Okay.
And then from then I got into Spartan endurance. And then I met a couple of guys and started following them on Facebook, and they were doing these things called GORUCK. So I'm like, what is that? So I started looking it up, you know, 3-4 months later, I'm signed up for my first Tough, and, you know, been hooked ever since.
Nice. When was that?
It was May 25th, 2019, Tough Class 3043. So
nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah.
It's funny, like Spartan is, that was my gateway drug as well. Like, you know, I went out and I ran a couple of those. And then one day I was at the gym and somebody was like, hey man, so you're doing Spartan things, like you should check out this GORUCK thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. And you know, this was way back in the day when, like, you know, you couldn't really Google and find much about it. And, you know, as it got closer, I found a little more and I was like, wait, what did I just sign up for?
It's definitely a different animal.
So prior to Bragg, like, had you done a heavy? Have you done an HTL or anything like that, or was it just straight into the double?
No, I had my first heavy was I did an HTL, the Seattle HTL, last year in August. Was my first heavy and first HTL. So
nice.
I figured if I was going to do a heavy, I might as well just do the tough and light too.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So when it comes to Bragg, so Bragg itself as the heavy, it's known as the king of all rucks in the community, right? And this year Go Ruck, they just totally upped the ante by offering Bragg as a double heavy. Everyone that knows about Go Ruck, and the events knows that the Bragg event is just the single heavy is no joke. It's something that the cadre take really seriously. The fact that it's at Bragg, which is so important to so many of them. And now, they're going to make this thing into a back-to-back event, 24 hours. Like, talk to me about, like, what made you want to do this? Like, why did you look at this and go, oh yeah, I'm buying a friggin' plane ticket from Salt Lake to fly to do this.
Bragg has been on my bucket list for ever since I started Go Ruck. I've noticed like all these people, we got to do Bragg, got to do Bragg. I'm like, what's Bragg? So then I looked it up and I was like, I watched some videos and some like AAR and read some AARs on it, and I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. So a Bragg heavy has been on my bucket list. And after I completed the HTL back in September or August, I was like, man, double heavy would be cool. So when Bragg came up as a double heavy, I was like, I'm doing it. I got to do it. So it was a good way to knock out.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah.
Man. So talk to me about like training for this. Did you how far out from the event did you sign up?
I signed up probably about 4 or 5 months in advance.
Okay. So 4 or 5 months ahead of this event, you're like, that's it. Plane ticket, going Bragg, double heavy.
Yes.
Talk to me about your training. Like, how do you approach going into a 48-hour event? You're going to ruck 80 plus miles. It's at Bragg. It's just going to be brutal. Like, how did you train, Kyle?
I honestly had after completing the HTL, I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I need to up my training game, because before I was just doing my own little thing. I was going for rucks, nothing big. I would do my own 12-mile timed ruck, every now and again. I had purchased my very first sandbag actually,
nice.
Just a couple of months before my HTL. And then after doing that, I was like, that was pretty rough, that HTL up mm-hmm. in Seattle. But so I decided I need to get a better training plan. So I stumbled I'm sure you've heard of a heavy drop training. HDT. So I was looking at that and Pathfinder. I ended up going with HDT, and I'm still doing it. It's an awesome program. It will get you, if a heavy is on your list, that will get you prepared for it. But
nice.
I was just kind of just doing the workouts, going heavy, So
is HDT, remind me that, do they also do weightlifting and stuff like that, or is it all sandbag and ruck based?
So they have a bodyweight version, a bodyweight ruck version, a sandbag and ruck version, and the sandbag ruck plus, which, is basically preparing you for selection. But don't really have the time to do the plus version. I really want to, but right now I just don't have the time. So I've just been doing the sandbag and ruck, and man, it's legit.
Okay. So obviously you completed the double heavy. So looking back on your training, is there anything that you would change, or that as you went through, you're like, you know what, this was a weak area. I probably should have done more of this. Any of that?
Honestly, probably overhead holds. the, you know, find the bottom of a squat and hold your ruck over your head. You know, nobody likes to hear that.
No.
But
no.
Yeah, overhead holds, you know, they get everybody. So that's been a weak part for me.
Yeah, I hate overhead holds so much, which is probably why it seems like that's all we ever do.
Yep.
So, all right, let's talk about this. You get off the plane, you head towards Bragg. It's the day of the event. You're rolling up into Bragg. You're getting ready to get started, and the event starts. Like kind of talk us through what was going through your mind, kind of right up into like that very first, like, all right, here we go.
I was just trying to keep my mind clear. I wasn't trying to think about anything. I was just trying to just show up, do the work, you know, just keep my mouth shut. You know, I've done some events with some people. They, you know, chitter chatter back with a cadre, and I'm just like, you know, no, this is all business here. So I just trying to keep my mouth shut, listen, do what I'm told, do the work, and get through it. And that's pretty much how I approach. Okay.
So any nerves, like what was nerve level, like rolling in and like starting to see people roll in, starting to see cadre, starting to maybe see like a pile of sandbags?
Oh yeah, that. So pulling into the complex, I started getting a little nervous going through that. I don't know if you've ever been to Bragg, but then you have to kind of travel through like this little woody area before it opens up into the complex. But, and when I saw everybody already there, because I thought I was getting there a little early. And there were people that had camped out there. I was like,
that's different.
Here we go. So yeah, the nerves definitely kicked in. The butterfly started going. And then of course, you know, I had to find the bathroom before. So
yeah, shoot. Man, okay. So you get there, you got some nerves, you're seeing the people. Did you know anybody else that was doing it, or were you just kind of flying solo?
I was flying solo on this one. I had met a few people doing HDT that were there, so I kind of knew them through Facebook posts and chatting, but no, I was pretty much there by myself.
Okay. So event starts, and you know, I'm sure there was a really enjoyable welcome party. at what point, kind of once you start doing the work, like at what point does it dawn on you, like what you've gotten yourself into?
Probably when all the cadre start yelling at you to move faster, to move with purpose, to, you know, and it's like, okay, it's go time. But it kind of, this one, you know, they surround you, they start talking a little bit, they kind of give you a little background of each cadre, they give you the background of where we're at, what it means to them. And then it's kind of like, oh, it's okay, it's calm. And then and then it goes from 0 to 100, just bam. So,
oh, these guys sound pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
Talk us through some of the evolutions, like, you know, just what were some of the harder, more miserable things that you encountered and had to go through it, in that first heavy?
The doing all the wads, I mean, really wasn't that bad. I was in pretty good physical shape coming into this, so the wads weren't that bad. The log PT, you know, you hear about it, you see, I was like, really? You've got all those people under a log. How hard could, oh my God. Log PT, where we had to walk around the complex with this log. I would say the log PT was probably the most brutal part, at least in the first heavy.
Yeah. And so these aren't just like your standard issue logs either. Those are like telephone poles, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like how many people do you have on one of those?
I think we had a good, probably about 20 people on each log.
Whew. And I know you kind of lose track of time, but like how long were they working you on those?
So the sun was up the next day when we were working on those. So we were approaching the 20 hour mark. So.
Oh man. So log PT, was pretty brutal. And then you said you had to like take them for a walk.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We did the log PT and then we had to take them for, I'm pretty sure that inner loop that we had to do in the complex was probably about a quarter mile.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more. I don't know. I can't remember, but it felt like forever.
So, obviously it was a beautiful, beautiful weather, you know, nice and sunny and warm. Like, what was it, like 14 degrees or something like that overnight?
The weather, it was miserable because it was just raining for like the first 5 or 6 hours straight. It was just raining. Okay. And then it got a little cool. It didn't get as cold in the first heavy as it did the second one though, but.
Okay.
Yeah, it dropped down to the low 30s into the 20s, I believe.
Whew.
Yeah.
And y'all were wet. I mean, I saw at least some, you know, they were just tossing you in the mud puddles and all that stuff kind of all the time.
Yep, we were wet pretty much the entire time due to rain, puddles, whatever. I mean, my feet were just wet for 48 hours, just wet and cold. Still recovering from trench foot today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oof.
My toes are still numb. Well, they're not numb. They're tingly now. So the feeling's starting to come back. And here we are a month out.
A month out and you're still kind of recovering your feet. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that's intense.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
Yeah, that's got my brain kind of reeling. Wow. So let's talk about this. Obviously it's a double heavy, you know, they put you through the work. You're grinding on under that massive log with your team. So you complete the first heavy. All right. Not everybody did that. Y'all had some drops and some folks that had to come out because of medical reasons and stuff like that. Talk to me about like the feeling of completing the brag heavy, going into that break period, and then having to restart again. I mean, obviously that's a roller coaster, right? Emotionally, you're the high of finishing, the mental aspect of like, okay, I get a break, the physical, like, yes, I'm not getting abused right now. And then having to ramp back up and sign up for another 24 hours. Like, talk me through that transition for you. Hey, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking about hitting that 15-second skip button. Come on, man, give me a shot here. Yeah, I'm going to talk to you and ask you to visit ruckingchallenges.com again, but hey, my brother's got to make money somehow. When you sign up at ruckingchallenges.com, it helps me keep this podcast alive. So do your part. Go sign up for this month's challenge, do the work, earn a patch, show us some love. That's ruckingchallenges.com. Head on over there, and while you're doing that, we're going to get back to our interview with Kyle.
We were at the end. I knew the end was coming because, you know, you could just tell. We get patched. And then I immediately had to think, okay, because I really wanted to just kind of throw my stuff down, go around, talk, but and kind of mingle, get warm. But I literally got my patch, grabbed my ruck, went to the car. And I was debating whether or not I was going to stay there, just change and, you know, try to get some sleep. But I was like, no, I got to – my room is about – you know, it was about a 15-minute drive from the complex. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do that. So I went back to my room and I took a shower. And I tell you what, that was the most awesome but yet grueling thing because you get in the shower, you're like, you don't want to get out.
Yeah.
My feet were like totally numb. They, you know, I should have warmed them up slower, but like when that hot water hit them, like all the blood rushed to the feet and it was the most painful thing. But other than that, it felt great. I didn't want to get out of the shower. That was the most grueling part. So, but after that, I got dressed, went back to the car. You know, I didn't stop really moving. I think that's kind of like, I didn't lay down. And
yeah. As soon as you told me that you went back to the hotel, I was like, dude, that's like the danger zone. That's right. A trap.
Yeah. I didn't touch the bed. I was like, I'm not laying down. So then I got back to my car, got back to the complex, and then I had probably about 20 minutes. So I ate some food, got my water.
Dude, what'd you eat?
So I brought actually some chicken noodle soup. It's a good, easy thing to get down. It has a bunch of carbs and salt and all that stuff. So I just dived down to a couple of cans of chicken noodle soup, ate a protein bar, got back at it.
Nice. So, so now you're walking up to the second heavy. Is your mentality still just that, like, I'm here, time to do work? Or is there like this sense of dread? Like, is there any doubt going in through your head? Or are you just like, all right, what you got?
Pretty much. Yeah. I was good. I was like, okay, that's one more to go. And, I'm weird. I don't need a lot of sleep. My wife talks about it all the time. She's like, you're crazy. It's like, you'll go to bed at 12 o'clock and then you'll get up at 5 to go work out. And I'm like, yeah.
That's helpful.
I do pretty well with no sleep. So, and then other than, just being in that moment just kind of got me pumped. I was like, yeah, I just completed a brag heavy. Let's go for a double.
Nice. So you were kind of amped up going into number two.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I tell you what I wasn't amped up about is the amount of people that were showing up for the second one. Because I was like, wait a minute, there's not that many people here.
So I know I've not done a double heavy. It's totally on my to-do list. But I've done the HTLs, and it's like at the end of the heavy, they're like, all right, who's coming back? And, everybody raises their hand. And then you go to the tough and you're like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where did everybody go?
Yeah.
Was it that kind of thing? Like it seemed like there was going to be a big turnout for number two, and then it was a lot less?
Yeah. Yeah. They asked like, who's going to show up for the second one? And of course, there was people that were like, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
But then there were some that raised their hands. It wasn't a lot, but I was like, okay, that's a decent number. And then when roll call was going on, I was like, what is this?
Oh boy. So what'd y'all start with? It was like, it was just over like 20 or 25, something like that.
I believe it was 21 that ended up 21. Starting the second.
Okay. And so you start and they just go right to town on you again.
Yeah. Well, the first event, they kind of introduced themselves, blah, blah, blah. But the second one, there was only three people that were coming in fresh. So.
Oh, so they allowed fresh bodies in the second one?
Yeah. So it was kind of set up kind of like an HTL, but they allowed people to, at first it was originally scheduled to be just strictly, you show up. You get what you're dealt with the people. But then they changed it where it was two separate events that you could sign up for one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So three fresh bodies. I feel like that would at least be like, okay, well, at least we got three fresh bodies.
Yeah, exactly. But then, I was just going to say the start of the first event, it was a little bit more of a slower start. The second one, it was, it's like, okay, this is who we are. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Type thing.
And obviously, like the whole event, a whole double heavy, putting them back to back, brag, king of all rucks. Like, as you look back, like, what stands out as some of the, like, for you personally, some of the darkest, hardest parts? And then maybe talk about, like, how you process that. Those difficult, dark moments?
There was several. The first event, we weren't getting the national anthem right because they wanted us to sing the national anthem. And of course, I knew, full disclosure, I didn't know the national anthem completely. I knew about 95%, but there's still certain words in there that you're like, what is that word? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we kept getting in trouble because we were messing up the national anthem. And so we had to do picnic table PT, and that was horrible. caterpillar pushups. Oh my God. Yeah, we were on the ground in the rain trying to do a caterpillar pushup. Jason McCarthy's over there just yelling at us. We were down there probably for at least 30 to 40 minutes doing caterpillar pushups. It was awful. That was probably the darkest moment during the first one. The temperature wasn't too bad. But we were doing plenty of PT to keep us warm. Mm-hmm. The second one, oh man, it was bad from the get go. They even gave us a full disclosure, say, hey, we're going to get you wet. So we're going to allow you 5 minutes to take whatever you don't want to get wet off and store it in your ruck. And
is that, I feel like I've seen a shirtless picture of you somewhere.
Yeah.
You're like, screw it. I don't care that it's 20 degrees. I'm keeping my shirt dry.
Right. Well, that's what, you know, I was stripping out. I took my shit, like my windbreaker off. I took my first layer off or my last layer off. And then, Jason's walking around saying, you know what? Yeah, I would go shirtless. Cause you know what? You're going to appreciate that dry layer. You know, I was like thinking, you know what? You're right. I mean, it's like, it's not that, it's not going to be that bad. Right. So I took my shirt off and went shirtless. And, other than being able to, you know, finally, when I was able to get my layers on, it felt amazing. But I tell you what, between the dirt, the sand, the muck rubbing against that rough, coarse Cordura on my back. Mm. Oh man, I didn't think about that. But
yeah,
it was definitely an experience.
And so, you know, like you're botching the national anthem, you're doing these worm pushups and you can't get it right. And in the second event, just dealing with the challenge of the second 24 hours, like how do you process that difficulty? Like when y'all are botching the anthem and you're like, this is never going to end. This sucks. I can't, you know, probably, you know, having that feeling of like, I can't do another damn friggin' worm pushup.
Right.
Like how do you get through that?
Very slowly, I guess. You just, it is what it is, you know, and they want you to do the work. So just do the work. Try next time. That's like, you know, yeah, we had a couple of people that were actually foreigners that had no idea what the national anthem was. Mm. And so while we were rucking around, we were told, you guys need to teach them the national anthem. So as we're rucking around the complex and through the, you know, puddles and all that and everything, mm-hmm. we, you know, tried to teach them, and then like, he would give us another chance. All right, sing the national anthem. And we kept messing it up. Mm. And it's just mentally, there was so many mentally challenges. And that was a big one is, you know, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We're never going to get this right. Mm-hmm. Even if we do get the words right, they wanted the melody right. And so it's like, you know, It's a die situation. So it's just like, you know, just bring it on. So nice. I just kind of have that mind mentality. It's like, you know what, you know, screw it. Just,
yeah. Yeah. I like that. You know, it's like, I think there's times where in events like this, where you just have to be like, you have to recognize that nothing you do is going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you start to get that hope up of like, maybe this time we'll do the push-ups right. Maybe this time we'll sing it right. But that's the thing. You're not. And even if you do, it's wrong.
Yeah.
And so kind of changing that mindset of just, there is no hope.
Yeah. That's why I always say, I'm like, that's why I'm a pessimist. You're never disappointed. You know, if you think the worst is going to happen, it is. Then you're ready. If it doesn't, well, it's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's like, okay, so for the next 20 hours, this is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Just worm push-ups for 20 hours. It'll be great. Oh, man. So was there ever any doubt that you were completing the double?
I had some dark moments, like, oh my, you know, because there was a point where I'm sure it's on the web, it's on Instagram, of me trying to get my shirt on after the welcome party. Mm-hmm. And I was jackhammering so bad. And mentally, I felt I was there. Like, I know the symptoms of hypothermia. Mm-hmm. One would argue I was hypothermic, but I felt like I wasn't quite there, but I was getting there. And I was worried that I was going to get med dropped.
Mm.
And so and then panic started sitting in. And then that's why I couldn't get my shirt on. I was panicking. And so that was probably the darkest moment. I was like, oh man, I'm not going to finish this if I can't get warm, if I can't stop, shaking, because Jason's over there yelling, stop shivering. And so I would close my eyes and just focus and stop shivering for maybe 3, 4, 5 seconds. And then I would start shivering again. And so, but that was a dark.
And that's gotta be tough too. Cause I mean, to a degree, I mean, that's something that you can't super control. Like you said, you can for a couple seconds stop your body's reaction, but just that snowball of that mental, I mean, and it's on top of fatigue, right? So you're just not even thinking clearly to begin with. But to think like, I'm not going to finish this because I can't calm my body enough down to put on a shirt.
Right.
Like, that's a little different than like, I can't do the push-ups, or I can't physically perform. Like, this is like, I can't put my damn shirt on. Like, that's got to be
I was like,
really challenging.
I don't want to be dropped because I can't get a shirt off.
Sheesh. So, kind of in wrapping it up, like I know that like really hard events like this for me, I love it on the back end for what it turns me into, like the change that I see in myself. As I look back, as you've had time to kind of reflect on the event and all that you went through, and the sacrifice that you took in training, the monetary sacrifice to fly out there and get hotel rooms and all that stuff, and then the physical sacrifice, I mean, like, that you're literally still recovering from, like, what do you take away from this whole experience?
The biggest thing I took away is how I need to humble myself. I need to and set my pride away. I'm very much a person that, wants to do things on my own. Mm-hmm. And something as simple as helping me get my shirt on. Instead of asking for help, no, I was sitting there struggling until one of the cadre stepped in and said, somebody help him. Because we had talked about this, that it's okay to ask for help. And that's one of my biggest faults, is like, I can do this. I can do this myself. I need to just humble myself and just set my pride away. And if I need help, ask for help.
Man, so that's awesome. Like, that's an awesome takeaway that easily gets applied in all of life. But man, I think, like, in an event like this, and any GILRUCK event, like, man, that's a great point. And it's something that I see a lot, is that pride. And how ultimately, when you're prideful, it impacts the team.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's so many times where I'll be on an evolution and, you see somebody struggling and you're feeling good. And you're like, hey, man, let me just take your ruck for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll double ruck. I'm feeling good. That 5 minutes of a bodyweight walk is going to give you what you need to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely.
But man, it is so hard to turn that ruck over.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be that person that's like, you know what, you're right, I can't carry this ruck for another 5 minutes. Like, thank you.
The exact same thing happened to me with another, I wished I knew his name. It was in the first heaven. We were running laps and he couldn't run. And I finally said, here, give me your ruck. I'll run with two rucks. You just run, and he didn't want to give it up. And I literally had to rip it off his back.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, here, take it easy. Just go.
Yeah. Gosh. But man, that pride gets in our way.
It does.
And it ultimately impacts the team. And I think I think that's such a great lesson to learn. Hopefully something that more folks will learn as they go through events. And you know, I'm hopeful for myself that when I hit those moments, because, you know, I know my weaknesses in events, that I'll be able to say, you know what, you're right. For the sake of the team, I do need you to do this for me so that we can get on to the next thing. And then there's going to be those points where you are stronger and you can perform and you can come alongside that person that's hurting. That's a really great takeaway, Kyle. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, man. No problem.
So that wraps it up, man. Congratulations on the double heavy. That's just freaking awesome. I appreciate you being on the show, and you know, we'll keep in touch, and you know, next time you do something big and crazy, we'll have you back on and talk again.
Sure, it won't be long.
Do you have anything on the radar?
Yeah, I got team assessment pre-selection on my radar that I want to do. Ooh. maybe not this year, but yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna make it to one of those.
Awesome, man. Well, I can't wait to talk to you about it.
All right, well, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Under the Log. Had a great time talking to Kyle today. And if you'd like to see show notes, a transcript for the episode, or links to stuff that we talked about, like, you know, the video of Kyle trying to put his shirt on, visit us at underthelog.com. And while you're there, you can find links to our social profiles. We'd absolutely love to connect with you online. And if you haven't already subscribed, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to that podcast wherever you get your podcast from. If you're digging on the content that we're putting out, it'd be really cool if you'd leave us a positive rating. And, you know, that's it for me. We'll see you next time. Under the Log.